Radio production.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
We're at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Good morning. My name is Michael D. Haskins. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning. Coming up next is EcoLogic. Please stay tuned.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome! Glad you can join us for EcoLogic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is EcoLogic for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guests today are Tina Vols-Bongar, Nancy Van, and Kevin Camps, here to discuss radioactive waste and nuclear reactor decommissioning. But first, another record for greenhouse gas emissions and a potential settlement in the class action lawsuit over the East Palestine, Ohio derailment.
Today marks the 70th birthday of Mumia Abu-Jamal, too many of which have been spent in prison. Longtime WBAI listeners are surely aware of the injustice of his extreme imprisonment and that we are all fighting the same oppressive forces, whether the focus is environmental justice, racism, or police brutality and court injustice. May he get the health care he needs and be free long before his 71st.
In a story edited by Chris McDermott on ecowatch.org, Christian Hemingway-Janes reports on research conducted by scientists at the Global Monitoring Lab of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Their work shows that once again, methane, carbon dioxide, and nitrous oxide, considered the three most important greenhouse gases that trap Earth's heat, reached record high levels in 2023. Some scientists predicted years ago that carbon dioxide concentration shouldn't go over 350 parts per million, and now we're up to close to 420. It was the 12th year in a row that carbon dioxide levels jumped more than 2 parts per million. Greenhouse gas levels are not getting better. They're getting worse year after year after year for 12 years. Methane levels, which also increased, are slightly less than carbon dioxide levels, but methane traps so much more heat than carbon dioxide that its effects is much worse. Nitrous oxide also increases mainly from the use of nitrogen fertilizer and manure from expanded, more intense agriculture. These results are the product of more than 15,000 samples collected by global monitoring stations and analyzed by a Boulder, Colorado laboratory.
We want to encourage everyone to head to Cortland Manor, New York, tomorrow evening to join the rally and Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board meeting, or at least sign into Zoom to hear what is happening at the nuclear reactors only miles from New York City. Details are on our website, ecoradio.org.
Lawyers for Norfolk Southern and residents affected by the East Palestine, Ohio derailment have reached a potential settlement of the class action lawsuit that resulted from the consolidation of 31 separate lawsuits. Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million, which is expected to resolve all class action claims within a 20-mile radius of the derailment and all personal injury claims within a 10-mile radius. However, there are 100,000 people living within 20 miles of the accident, including not only East Palestine, but several larger towns. So dividing that money yields just $6,000 per person, minus legal fees. We all know that won't pay the cost of the health care needed as a result of the derailment. Eric Kaza, who had 47 family members living within a mile of the derailment, said, "It's not nowhere near my needs, let alone what the health effects are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road. There are no restrictions on how the claimants can use the money, and those within the 10-mile zone can still choose to pursue additional compensation. The settlement, which does not include any admission of wrongdoing by the corporation, must still be approved by a federal judge. The company made $213 million in profit on revenues of $3 billion during the first quarter of 2024. Even after the settlement, Norfolk Southern CEO Alan Shaw is facing activist investors' attempt to replace him. The National Transportation Safety Board's full investigation into the cause of the derailment won't be complete until June, and this becomes just a cost of doing business that the corporations will accept."
We'll talk with our guest after Fred Gillen Jr. sings River of Money. He wrote the song especially about the Hudson River in Holtec.
Is Fred Gillen Jr. singing River of Money.
Now we welcome our guest. Please introduce yourself. Tina?
Yes. Hi, I'm Tina Volz-Bongar. I live in Peekskill, New York, and I'm part of the Stop Holtec Coalition. And I'm a pleasure to be here today.
Thanks. Nancy?
Hi, Hi, I'm Nancy Van. I'm the president of Safe Energy Rights Group that was formed to oppose the pipelines next to the nuclear plant here in Peekskill and Buchanan. And we have so many environmental problems that we need to address. We got to work on it.
Yeah, yeah. And Kevin.
Hey, everybody. My name is Kevin Camps, and I serve as radioactive waste watchdog at Beyond Nuclear. But I'm from Kalamazoo, Michigan, and we're battling Holtec on the Lake Michigan shore.
Mm-hmm.
So when a nuclear reactor is shut down, is everyone safe? Kevin?
Well, it is a good day, like it is in point two and three, because the reactors stop operating. They defuel the reactors. By definition, you can't have a core meltdown once the reactors are defueled. You're not making any more high-level radioactive waste. You're not making any more new radioactive poison. But the problem is, even that fuel from the core goes into the indoor wet storage pool. And at Indian Point and other atomic reactors in the country, you have decades worth of fuel in the pool. Some of the fuel has been transferred into dry cast storage. The point is, the high-level radioactive waste is still very hazardous for a million years or longer into the future. You have to contain it. If it gets out, and there's various ways it can get out, then you're causing harm to people and the environment, big time.
Nancy, you've been looking at this nationally, haven't you?
Yes, there's plants all over the U.S. that are closing down, and the company that is doing much of the decommissioning is called Holtec. And they are trying to do the job as cheaply as possible. And that means that, for example, when they're moving the fuel out of the fuel pools and into these canisters, they're often scratched. So we're talking about canisters that are casts and canisters that are inadequate to begin with. And then the way they're treated, they were actually sanctioned in San Onofre for scratching canisters, but they're using the same system here. And we believe that every single canister that was loaded into the waste facility is now scratched. The coating has been scratched off, and that can accelerate the rusting or deterioration. We're very concerned about cracks and what will happen in the future.
And I just want to talk about, you know, just what Nancy is saying about that, is that part of the problem with the model of decommissioning is that Holtec is incentivized to achieve what the state calls these benchmarks. And they hit the benchmark in December of transferring these rods. So they get a certain amount of money from the decommissioning trust fund. Do we know what that is? We don't. And that's part of the problem that we have with the transparency of the decommissioning trust fund at Indian Point. That happens to be $2.4 billion. But now, since they were rushing and everything, and they've achieved this benchmark, they are able to receive some money from the trust fund. Also, they can take down their expenditures for emergency planning and training. All of those safeguards of the 10-mile zone are off the table now. You know, there's rumors about a scant security guards at Indian Point now. Everybody from the state gets mad at me when I bring this up. And I'm like, if I can bring this up and talk about this, then we're really in trouble. Okay. So anyway, that is, you know, a little bit of the picture of what Holtec is currently doing at Indian Point.
You know, what's incredible about what Tina just said is, you know, spent nuclear fuel management, highly radioactive, irradiated nuclear fuel management is not supposed to draw on the decommissioning trust fund for revenues. It's supposed to be paid for in other ways. This is a non-decommissioning activity that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission routinely authorizes by exemption these companies to draw money from the decommissioning trust fund for. And yes, it's important to empty the pool because pools can lose their cooling. the waste can catch fire. It would be a mega catastrophe. But here's Holtec, which sometimes decides to what they call promptly empty the pool, and they make mistakes. They had a worker doused and dosed with radioactive water at Oyster Creek during one of these fuel transfers. At San Onofre, like Nancy brought up, they actually almost dropped the canister. It would have been an 18-foot drop, and it was sheer luck that it didn't. And the only reason this incident even came to light was a worker blew the whistle at a public meeting and got fired promptly for doing so. The canister, which weighed 50 tons, was fully loaded with highly radioactive waste, was resting on something like a half-inch shelf of metal. So that's all that prevented it from hitting the ground at high speed, was a half-inch of overlap. Bad design by Holtec, bad handling operations. And we can talk more about the decommissioning trust fund looting that Holtec is doing, maybe no more blatantly than at Palisades in Michigan, where they're not doing any decommissioning work. They're doing very little spent nuclear fuel management. They're doing no site restoration. And yet they have blown through something like close to $150 million for the decommissioning trust fund, and nobody knows what it's been spent on. We keep alleging they're spending it on the restart scheme for the closed reactor. And there's just denial from Holtec and NRC, and away they go, blowing through the decommissioning trust fund. And we can talk about what are the consequences of that. The radioactive contamination on the site does not get cleaned up. And that's a very serious consequence for future generations.
And I think they bought Palisades on the standing that they were going to decommission it. And then they turned around and decided, hey, we want to reopen it, right?
How that is not business fraud is beyond me. I'm not a lawyer, but it was a bait and switch trick. It was a con job. A week after they took ownership on June 28th of 2022 for decommissioning purposes, they've been talking about it for years. They applied secretly to the Department of Energy for many billions of dollars in bailouts for the restart. So we've been living this nuclear nightmare in Michigan, this zombie reactor restart, since we learned of it. A couple months after that application was filed, September of 2022, all of a sudden, this mystery company that the governor, unfortunately, said, we've got this company that wants to restart Palisades. Well, surprise, it's the decommissioning company. It's Holtec, who's never operated a reactor. They've never built a reactor. Now they're talking about building so-called small modular reactors at Palisades and up north at Big Rock Point. So this company is crooked. This company is criminal. This company can't be trusted at all. And yet the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has put them in charge of all this radiological risk and all this financial risk. We're talking, like Tina said, $2.3 billion at Indian Point, $500 million at Palisades. You add it all up. This company is in charge of a bunch of money and trust funds that they are blowing through for who knows what purposes.
I'm looking on Zoom, and Tina's nodding her head vigorously, and you made some pretty strong charges, and you just made them publicly on a radio station, so you must have a lot of facts to back that up.
As a lawyer, I can tell you that yes, there are a lot of facts to back them up, but not as many as we would hope. One of the really bad things about Holtec is that they're what's called a privately held corporation, which means they don't have to file financial statements. What they do when they come in and take over a reactor is they set up a whole series of little subsidiaries. Each one does a particular thing. And if that subsidiary goes bankrupt, then Holtec International and the people that the private entities that own it, they don't lose any money at all. The NRC has sanctioned them at other places, including here at Indian Point, for misuse of the trust funds. And we have no way to really check that. The NRC says it's not their job to check the trust funds. And as I said, as a company, there's no real public reporting. We should not allow any private companies, any companies that don't have to reveal their finances and what the trust funds are being used for, we should not be allowing them to do any of this decommissioning work.
Absolutely. Completely agree, Nancy. Absolutely. It's time to hold them accountable. And the NRC isn't going to do it. And so therefore, it goes to the state. And mm-hmm. I think that that's going to be the next real move and initiative, for New York State advocate.
Can you talk a little about the decommissioning board? Oh. Sorry, Donna, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you're listening to WBAI. Ecologic is WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
Ecologic covers every environmental issue, so we all help all sorts of groups educate and activate our listeners. This makes a donation to us one-stop donating. It's like supporting many groups. Your donations help us to help community groups get the word out about their events and petitions. With a donation of $35 or more, you can choose a gift from our premium selections. Go to give2wbai.org and search for Ecologic.
Eco-logic. And now back to our guests. You've given us so much scary information. And I remember when I first learned about Holtec, mentioning to a friend, and she was looking into what was going on in Camden, New Jersey, with some sort of corruption accusation with a local politician. So I guess that's just their way of doing business. I mean, what's going on that they keep – this stuff keeps popping up.
They are totally tied to the New Jersey Democratic machine. George Norcross, the power broker in South Jersey, is on their board of directors. Uh-oh. Cory Booker is a big fan. It makes it difficult. New York has an opportunity to do some oversight into their finances. Is the Decommissioning Oversight Board or the controller at all working on that? Or,
well, they are in their ways. And I just heard from Tom Condon, who runs our Decommissioning Oversight Board, you know, the state board, that the NRC would be presenting at the next meeting, which is in June, mm-hmm. on the status of the trust fund, because all of a sudden there's all, quote unquote, all this interest in how the trust fund is spent. But yes, you know, they're very interested in that and they want to see receipts. So we're working on that just to say we need transparency here and reporting, you know, the amount of what's left in the trust fund is in no way reporting on how this decommissioning is being done. And that's the current state of things, is just getting a number for the year that is compared to other decommissioning, you know, in Oyster Creek, yeah. being that Sally was talking about. So yes, there's an initiative. They're very interested in that. And anyway, next steps.
Are you confident that the state will be a good watchdog for Holtec?
We're keeping fingers crossed. But
it's not a yes, Nancy.
Holtec's river of money includes a lot of little streams and tributaries, too. They perpetrated tax fraud in New Jersey. They had a bribery charge and were sanctioned in the Tennessee Valley Authority. They bribed officials. They have a lot of different streams of money that they, like Fred said, that roll into a river, and that's all they're really interested in. And we have to have better oversight. They've been convicted of a lot of financial fraud. So,
and I want to qualify that. Yes, absolutely. And I want to stress what she just said, which is that they have been convicted in the past. So what we're talking about, and Nancy has really done the research on this, is past convictions of.
To give some details on what Nancy said, and she has this great rap sheet about Holtec years ago, and Holtec is closely controlled by its CEO, Krishna Singh. So years ago, a $55,000 bribe by Holtec to a Tennessee Valley Authority official in Alabama at the Browns Ferry Nuclear Power Plant to secure a contract for high-level radioactive waste management the bribe got busted. That individual who took the bribe was in serious criminal trouble. Mm-hmm. Holtec was fined $2 million for its role by the Tennessee Valley Authority. It was also put on a 60-day ban and bar from doing business with TVA. And incredibly enough, Krishna Singh and Holtec later lied under oath about that ban and bar. They were seeking a $260 million tax break from the state of New Jersey and got it. But on their application form, under oath, Holtec and Krishna Singh said, "We have never been banned and barred from doing business with a state government or federal agency." That was a lie. They got busted. Incredibly, they still hold that money all these years later, but the AG of New Jersey, to his credit, is trying to claw that money back in the state Supreme Court. And incredibly enough, Holtec, I guess they figured they got away with it once. They did another lie on another tax break application in New Jersey. It was for a smaller amount of money this time, but they lied. They got caught. And that was more recent news, was the AG went after them. And it was, like you said, Ken, about the train derailment in East Palestine. I think Holtec will very likely spin and say, we didn't get convicted. Well, they got fined $5 million by the AG of New Jersey. They're also on a sort of probation for 3 years. If they seek another tax break from New Jersey, there has to be an independent third party that the state agrees to that serves as liaison between this lying company and the state of New Jersey. So there are some examples of their financial fraud and wrongdoing from the past.
You said a $260 million tax break in New Jersey and a $5 million fine. So it sounds like they came out way ahead.
Well, they kept that contract at TVA. It was a cost of doing business, the $2 million fine that they paid down there. After 60 days of ban and bar, they just carried on with the contract like nothing happened. So, yeah, cost of doing business.
Wow. Yeah, that's $26 million a year for 10 years, and they tried to take it back and then said, oh, no, no, you can have it anyway. It's, yeah, the mind boggles.
The mind boggles, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm really angry that I'm not surprised because this happens too much, too often with too many different companies. But what would you like listeners to do? We're not powerless in this, are we?
First thing, show up at the meeting tonight.
Yeah. Tomorrow night. And we'll... Yeah, tomorrow night. Just now, I'm probably going to have to leave a little early. I'm picking up Arne Gunderson. He's a nuclear engineer and decommissioning expert who was on the board. He was first chair of the board of decommissioning Vermont Yankee. And the state is bringing him in to do a presentation, which a lot of us are really pleased with because we've been advocating for experts in decommissioning to come now.
Yeah.
For quite a while. And so this is, I hope, a big achievement. We'll get to listen to him. The state has some plans, but anyway.
Does everybody get to listen to him? Anybody listening to Ecologic right now?
Yes.
To Arne Gunderson tomorrow night.
Yes, they can. And what you just need to do is Google the Decommissioning Oversight Board, the DOB, NYSDOB, and then it'll take you through a series of pages, but you can come on virtually. You don't have to sign up, but if you want to sign up and make public comment, you have the option to do that too. And there, I highly encourage, when people are listening and everything, to take the time to give input into what's called the docket. And so we have a case number for the Indian Point decommissioning that's on the permanent record there, and you can file a comment. So anyway, thank you all. Thank you, Nancy Van, for all of the research that you've done. I'm eternally grateful. And Kevin Camps, we're behind you. And if you ever need anything, you give me a call.
And we link to that on ecoradio.org. So if you go to ecoradio.org, you'll see right there, board meeting, it's underlined. So if you want to attend it virtually or whatever, go to that link.
And there will be a rally before the board meeting. So just at 1 Hetty Street in Cortland, come at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a rally. You can meet some of the people that are working on this so hard, Tina and some of the other folks here. And if you're not in New York, if you're, or if you're in upstate New York, if you're other, near another nuclear plant, when it starts to close down, you've got to get out there in the street. You've got to get your state people on board. We've mm-hmm. had a lot of work here in New York in getting not a perfect situation, but we do have this decommissioning oversight board, which has regular meetings and pays for things like an expert to come. And we do have an agreement. When Coltech wanted to get the license and start the decommissioning, they had to negotiate certain water permits and things with the state of New York. And in order to get the state of New York to agree to that, they entered into basically a contract with the state. And one of the things that's in that agreement is that they can't put other, like these small modular reactors at the Indian Point site, which is what they're planning to do at a lot of other sites. That, oh, well, they'll decommission this big nuclear plant that's no longer... It's not because they're doing it out of safety. These plants can't make money. New solar is cheaper electricity than existing nuclear. And these plants need to be bailed out, the big plants. So what they're doing is they're proposing to come in with these small nuclear reactors, which don't exist. They don't exist yet. It's like the designs, the salt that they're supposed to keep them cooled has failed, spectacularly in the past, and so they're trying to come in with that to keep the money flowing. Kevin can probably tell a lot more about the details of these SMRs.
Yeah,
I just wanted to, hats off to you guys in New York. The grassroots environmental victory that you've won at Indian Point thus far is inspiring to us in places like Michigan. I mean, you shut Unit 2, you shut Unit 3, you're watchdogging Coltech's every move at Indian Point. We are in a different boat in Michigan, and I'm thankful to Tina's offer for help. Our state government, which is Democratic controlled right now, Democratic governor, Democratic legislature, has really just written a blank check to Holtec and handed the keys to the treasury to this crooked company. So already $150 million approved by the state for the restart scheme. The governor has led the charge on the restart scheme. Huh? They want another $150 million from the state. That'd be $300 million. But you add it all up, both federal and state taxpayers and ratepayers, Holtec is asking for, demanding, $15.7 billion with a B for the restart scheme. That would be $8.3 billion at Palisades on the Lake Michigan shoreline, and another $7.4 billion for small modular reactor deployment, both at Palisades and at Big Rock Point up north. This is the drinking water supply, the Great Lakes, for 40 million people in 8 states, 2 provinces, a large number of indigenous nations. 21% of the world's surface fresh water, 84% of North America's surface fresh water, 95% of our country's surface fresh water. That's what they're putting at risk with these high risk plans. And small modular reactors, like Nancy said, are still in the design phase. The lead project in the country, which was targeted for construction and operation in Idaho to export the electricity to Utah, went belly up some months ago. It was a real failure. That was the lead only certified design in the country. So here comes Holtec with its, here's another example of Holtec. They make these whiplash changes in plans all the time. So for years on end, we've been battling Holtec's plan to build 4 SMR 160s. These are so-called small modular reactors of 160 megawatts electric each at Palisades. So that would have been 5 reactors at the Palisades site, which is only 432 acres. So Fukushima risks of multiple meltdowns on such a tiny site. So all of a sudden on December 5th, 2023, they changed their plan. It's no longer four SMRs. It's now two SMRs, but they're SMR-300s, 300 megawatts electric each. That's not small. Compared to the previous Big Rock Point reactor, that was 67 megawatts electric, one of the dirtiest radioactive polluters in the entire nuclear industry. 3 million curies that we know about were emitted into the environment from Big Rock Point. So Big Rock Point is 4.5 times smaller than these SMR-300s. And then another comparison in Michigan would be Fermi Unit 1 in southeastern Michigan. Had a partial meltdown in 1966. We almost lost Detroit. That was 7 megawatts electric. These SMR-300s are 4.5 times bigger. And there's this thing called break-in phase risks, design flaws that you find out about the hard way at Chernobyl Unit 4 in 1986 or Three Mile Island Unit 2 in 1979, operator inexperience. These are break-in phase risks of catastrophe. So you're going to have that with these Holtec SMRs combined at Palisades with the breakdown phase risks of a zombie reactor.
You brought up, Kevin, the waterways in Michigan. It's like we love our Hudson River, and our Hudson River gives us so much. Drinking water to communities up and down the river. I'm a kayaker. I can't imagine ever kayaking again in the Hudson River once they dump waste into the river. Tell us, Nancy, you would probably more have local information about that. The idea that they can dump radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River is bizarre. How much it will affect the entire New York State.
We did get legislation passed this past year and signed by both houses of the New York State legislature and signed by Governor Hochul to prevent that. Of course, Holtec is going to court to challenge that, saying that the NRC has exclusive right to regulate radioactive materials or wastes or...
And there's loopholes in that ban. Right. If they dump it anyway, they get a fine, which again costs the business if they pay the fine. And then there's evaporation of the nuclear waste that they're doing in Massachusetts. So there's loopholes. I remember we were celebrating on Ecologic among other places for getting that ban signed, and now it's like, oh, we were celebrating too fast.
Well, they are challenging it, and we'll see what happens. The NRC does not really protect communities. Their basic philosophy is we want to promote nuclear energy, so they don't protect our communities. And Kevin was talking about the break-in risks. When you started a nuclear plant, the opposite end of that is the aging risks. As nuclear plants get older, they have more and more risks. We've had lots of failures here before Indian Point was shut down. A quarter of the baffle bolts, the bolts that hold the part of the reactor that...
the filter?
The water over the core to keep it cool, that distributes that over the core, those were missing in one of their inspections. We asked the plant to accelerate the inspection of the other reactor that was working, and they said, oh no, it's a different design, it won't have that same problem. Finally, they did the inspection, and they had a full third of the bolts were missing or had fallen into the reactor, which can cause really serious problems. So these reactors get old. They need a lot of upkeep. They need to be refurbished in a lot of ways, and it gets to be much too expensive. And then states give them bailout money. one of the problems, thank you to Kevin for saying we've done a good job in New York, but one of the costs of that good job was that there's $7.2 billion that were given to upstate plants that are also on the Great Lakes, money that could have been spent. If you're concerned about climate change, nuclear plants, either nuclear plants that are in operation or new nuclear plants, it's the worst thing you can spend your money on. It is so much cheaper. Like I said, new solar can produce far cheaper, yeah, like six times cheaper electricity than even existing nuclear plants. And that's before the bailouts. And for every bailout, almost every bailout, I don't want to get sued, for many bailouts, it's fraud. They've bribed the state officials to give these plants a bailout. And, you know, so Holtec is just fraud all the way across the board. And that's not just here, but in other places too. So if you're near another nuclear plant, find your local environmentalist and educate them and start fighting.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
When you choose to become our Ecologic BA buddy, you're giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure that we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are.
Last fall, we had a show with Arjun Makhijani. His book is available as a premium for Ecologic. Every day this week at noon, there has been a prayer vigil outside the New York City offices of Senators Schumer and Gillibrand at 783rd Avenue between 48th and 49th Streets in support of the Earth Bill. Different clergy lead the prayers each day from Jewish, Christian, and Muslim perspectives, and probably more. This continues through Friday, April 26th.
We'll be back with Kevin Kamps and Nancy Mann soon. When WBAI is sure that the bills will get paid, we can plan our shows and do less fundraising, hopefully, so we can bring you more environmental news and information, even some songs. Your BAI Buddy Pledge helps that happen, as does any donation anytime. No donation is too small or too big. Remember, tell them you're donating in the name of Ecologic. Just go to give2wbai.org and put eco-logic in the search box to choose from our premiums, or call 212-209-2950 to make your donation today.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
And now we continue with our discussion with our guests.
Nancy, you were just talking about the bailout of the upstate nuclear power plants with our tax money. We didn't vote on that. The governor just gave it to them. That was Governor Cuomo, and Hochul's continued it. And what I don't understand is that if you give money to workers who work at the plant, and that's called socialism, but if you give the money to a corporation who then takes their cut and gives it to the workers, that's somehow capitalism. I don't understand that difference. I don't know if anybody can explain it very well, but to me, it's just corruption. It's not capitalism or socialism. It's just corruption.
It is. And like I said, many of these bailouts across the country, several of them have been basically the result of bribes to state officials. And you know, you can't get better evidence of corruption than that. Holtec has given bribes in other states. And we really need to hold their feet to the fire, not just in trying to get plants shut down. But when they do start shutting them down, there's so many problems. We hear, as Tina had mentioned before she had to leave, Holtec is stopping all of our emergency planning here. There, while the plant was operating, they were required to give money for first responders here. They were required to have certain inspectors on site. And at every plant that is shutting, every nuclear plant that's shutting down across the country, the entity that's shutting down the plant asks the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, for exemptions to the regulations about what kinds of on-site safety there is, what kinds of off-site and monitoring and first responders need to be funded. And that is happening at every plant, and at every plant, the NRC is granting these exemptions. Mm-hmm. Now, the NRC could go to change the regulations of what needs to be to happen at these closing plants. That would mean that they would have to go through public hearing and public input and actually try to justify why they're decreasing monitoring and leaving these communities so exposed. But they don't do that. They do what is called regulation by exemption, where they just routinely, to every plant that asks for it, say, oh, well, we have a regulation that says you have to do this, but we didn't really mean that. And we really like you, so you don't have to. Stop funding the fire and the police and the if anything happened at Indian Point, if there was an emergency there, I see, you know, on your background, one of the things we're supposed to do here is go to a bus stop, and it's called an evacuation, Indian Point evacuation bus stop, and wait for a bus to come and pick us up to evacuate from Indian Point. And guess what they're doing now? They're taking out the bus stops. We don't even have a fig leaf kind of emergency plan here. And people that live in New York City, where would they go? If you left New York City on a Friday afternoon, you know there's no way to evacuate this area. And even their wholly inadequate plans.
Well, I remember it was somebody from FEMA, I think it was, who told Michio Kaku that I got you now. Okay, evacuation of New York City can be done in 2 weeks with even odd license plates. And he was serious. He thought he got Michio Kaku, the nuclear physicist, on that. I mean, it's crazy what they managed to say. And if a listener cannot make tomorrow evening's meeting or the rally, what else can we do?
I think, you know, these issues call for people to just really engage with our democracy at all levels. And, you know, like has been said, it's a mixed bag even in New York in terms of success at Indian Point. It's so much greater than we've accomplished in Michigan, by example. So you should feel good about that. but contact all of your elected officials or whatever you've got in you, all the way from, you know, your local officials to your state officials to your federal officials, and keep urging them and encouraging them to do the right thing. You've really moved mountains in New York to get elected officials to do the right thing. And again, by comparison, we have a lot of work to do in Michigan to turn things around. That's what leads to success eventually, is the grassroots groundswell that moves elected officials to do the right thing. And you've accomplished a lot, but it's going to take constant drumbeat. That's what you can do anytime you feel like it, is contact your elected officials, your appointed officials, and urge them to do their jobs, which is to protect the public health, safety, environment, and pocketbook on these issues.
The Decommissioning Oversight Board's public comment is there all the time. So, you know, whenever you have something that strikes you, that you hear something, go and tell them about it. Go and, you know, make your comments.
And one thing is just to urge them to do the right thing, but educate them Many, many meetings with our local officials to educate them about the facts, because the nuclear industry can hire lobbyists, and they can try and convince people that nuclear is the answer. It was supposed to be too cheap to meter. That was the original claim for nuclear energy. But now they're trying to see it the solution for that it's a solution for climate change, which is absolutely false, as I've already said. And two of our really, really best professors and scientists about climate change, Mark Jacobson and Michael Mann, have both published books. Mark is at Stanford University and Michael Mann is at Penn, and they publish books proving that we don't need nuclear for climate change. And not only don't we need it, but it slows down our fight against climate change. So educate yourself, read some of these this information, join your local environmental groups. I think that when we started out, we couldn't even get an article in the New York Times about the environment. And now, through decades of work, people are beginning to be aware of it. So find a local environmental group and educate them about how nuclear is not the answer for climate change, and then go to your public.
And keep listening to EcoLogic. Wednesdays at 10 a.m. because we put people like Nancy Bannon and Kevin Camps and Tina Bowes-Walgar on the air to explain things to you in detail.
Right.
Well, it's time to wrap up.
Oh,
so, I know time goes by so fast when we're doing that. We could easily be a 2-hour show. So thanks for joining us. For more information, our guest websites are linked on ecoradio.org, where you'll also find information on a wide variety of environmental issues, links to our previous shows as well. If you'd like to do a follow-up or news report on any of our previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme. And please go to give to WBAI to become a BAI buddy or choose a premium.
Join us on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. EcoLogic is preempted next Wednesday, May 1st, but EcoLogic with WBAI might be doing a Pete Seeger special for his 105th birthday on May 3rd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's definite now.
We are doing 2 hours of the Pete Seeger special on May 3rd.
Cool.
I don't know which 2 hours, so definitely keep checking with our website.
Okay. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list or like our Facebook page. We're at WBAI EcoLogic, no dashes.
We welcome you to get involved at WBAI, your station. Check the WBAI.org homepage meetings section for dates and times. And of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. Pledging as an EcoLogic BAI buddy now during the show really helps EcoLogic especially.
We are always glad to have you with us for EcoLogic, live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBA archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, May 8th at 10 a.m. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details, and please check in on May 3rd for our 2-hour special of a whole day of special on Pete Seeger. It's his 105th birthday. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
On Wednesday, April 24, 2024, veteran Black Panther, distinguished author, award-winning radio journalist, and U.S. held political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal of Philadelphia turned 70 years old in his 42nd year in prison. The Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition plans to be in Philadelphia to demand his release, marking 70 years of resistance in the city of so-called brotherly love, Philadelphia. For bus tickets and details, go to freemumia.com. That's freemumia.com or call our hotline, 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029. When we fight, we win. Release all political prisoners.
$0.33 a day. Not much, is it? Boost change. A third of a cup of coffee. It's nothing. But did you know that $0.33 a day can help WBAI stay on the air? That's all it takes. As little as $0.33 a day, $10 a month, you can be a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is someone who signs up to make a recurring monthly donation to WBAI using either a credit card, debit card, or by electronic fund transfer from your bank account. It's safe, secure, and easy, and it helps keep our unique, alternative, and diverse programming on the air. You'll get a WBAI membership card and other goodies. Sign up online. Go to WBAI.org and click on donate. All the details are right there. The WBAI buddy. Be one today.
Establishment media sucks. All gaslighting, so good luck. Bullshit we can't afford. Why fomenting this? Watch and see as his jack off the medium speeds and jumps the medium and hits him head on. It's the Jimmy Dore Show.
Guess what? They're adding another night of Jimmy Dore on WBAI. That's the point here. You turn in Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight for the Jimmy Dore Show. That's right. They've added an additional show each week for you on WBAI in New York because the world's messed up. That's the Jimmy Dore Show with me, Jimmy, Wednesdays and Thursdays at midnight on Free Speech, Peace, and Justice Radio, WBAI New York.
Do not freak out.
Jumbo, this is Inez Barron, inviting you to an exciting new program here at WBAI that I will co-host with my husband, the outspoken, indomitable Charles Barron, the love of my life. Our program is Speaking Truth to Power and will air April 12th from 5 to 6 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. In the 50s, my family would visit my grandparents in the South Carolina who had a potbelly cast iron wood-burning stove. In the morning, all I could see inside the stove were the ashes from the previous day. My grandfather would get the poker, start agitating those ashes, then make adjustments to the vent to let the air come through, finally add kindling wood, and voila, we had a fire. Speaking Truth to Power will bring the fire. In the spirit of Sankofa, we will present historical evidence, stimulating conversation, thought-provoking ideas, and revolution.